Well, hey, good morning. My name is George Watson. I'm the pastor here at this place that we call Faith Point Church, our church family. And if you're new with us, we've got a couple folks, and I haven't had a chance to say good morning to you. We're super glad that you are here this morning and hope that you find this to be a place where you could grow in your faith and encounter Christ. Well, as I was preparing for this message this morning, I came across an article that was written by Jeff McNeil, a student pastor in Iowa. And the name of the article was called Church in the Sanctuary. Church in the Sanctuary. And the big idea of his article incorporates in his title, Church on the Sofa Will Never Be the Same as Church in the Sanctuary. I like that. I think Jeff has summarized what so many pastors and church leaders and parishioners have been reflecting on since the beginning of this pandemic, when we have seen so many of our church family just kind of fading away. And what he writes in there, I think, speaks to what it means to really be a part of a church family, and I think it's appropriate for what we're going to talk about today as we talk about using our gifts well. And so I thought that I would like to share this with you again, because I found when I was reading this article, and it's very short, I found myself saying, that is so true. Check this out. He writes this: as church attendance numbers fade across the nation and online services become very convenient, who doesn't like not having to get ready in the morning or leaving the home? It's important to remember why church attendance for you and your family matters so much. You can't serve from your sofa. You can't have community of faith on your sofa. You can't experience the power of a room full of believers worshiping together on your sofa. Christians aren't consumers either. We are contributors. We don't watch. We engage. We give. We sacrifice. We encourage. We serve. We do life together. The church needs you, and you need the church. Wherever you are, find a local church where you are, and your family can be a part of a church, and use your talents to advance the kingdom and reach others. To come alongside one another physically, not just through a screen. While I'm grateful for technology to keep people connected that aren't physically, that can't physically come to a facility or need to be away, it's absolutely not like being in the building. Never will be. Yes, church on the sofa is nice, but it'll never be the same as church in the sanctuary. By the time I finished reading this short article, I tell you, I found myself just saying amen, amen, and amen, because I have always been a part of a church. From the time I could remember, I've always been a part of a local church. So let me go ahead and share with you what I hope will be your takeaway from today's message. So I'm giving you the tagline before I'm even going to talk about it. And the tagline, the takeaway is this: if you're not consistently, actively engaged in a local church using your gifts, something of God's is missing. If you're not consistently, actively engaged in church, being together, using your gifts, something of God's is missing. So let's back up and see how I came to this takeaway. We are in the midst of a summer message series that I have titled Simon Says. And in this series, we are looking at some of the most profound, intriguing, and life-changing things that Simon Peter has to tell us. We're taking a look at some of his most powerful insights. Insights from Simon Peter, one of Jesus's closest disciples, one of his friends, and a guy that steps up in the first century to become the central figure in the beginning of the early church. Today's scripture is part of a larger section in 1 Peter that we could simply title Living for God. And it includes what Simon has to say to believers about things like being earnest and disciplined in prayer, about showing deep love for one another, about sharing their homes with those in need, what the Bible calls hospitality. And this morning, what Peter has to say to believers about using their spiritual gift or gifts well. So we're in 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 10 through 11, and we're going to look at it from two different translations, the New Living Translation and the New Revised Standard Versions. Because as I've often said, I like reading verses from a variety of translations, because what I think it does is I think it helps us to have a better understanding of what our biblical author is trying to share with us. Because quite frankly, some translators translate it in a way that I can understand it better than how another translator might do it. So I think it's good for us to read that. But before we get into that, I want to remind you something that I said last week. The words we're about to read from 1 Peter are written to believers. The words that Peter has, the words that Simon has to say to you and to me, are to Christians. They're to believers. They're to people who have put their faith, their hope, and their trust in Jesus as Lord and Savior. 1 Peter starts out with these words. This letter is from Simon, an apostle of Jesus Christ. I am writing to God's chosen people who are living as foreigners in the provinces of Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. Now, God's chosen people, that is code for Christians, for believers. So he's saying, I am writing to Christians, to believers living in these places. And his second book, 2 Peter, begins in a very similar way. He says, this letter is from Simon Peter, a slave and apostle of Jesus Christ. I am writing to you who share the same precious faith we have. So again, Peter wants us to know that what he is writing is to Christians. It's to believers, because Peter has some important things to say to us. And as I've said before, I think Peter is the perfect guy to listen to, because he's so much like us that we can trace his spiritual journey from the moment he says yes to following Jesus, when he has high moments and low moments and everywhere in between. But then he finally gets to this place where he literally steps in to who he really is as a follower of Jesus. And in the beginning of Acts, he delivers the very first, most powerful, life-changing, life-altering sermons, where literally thousands of people come to faith in Christ because of what he says and how the Holy Spirit moves in their midst. So he's a good guy for us to listen to. He's got good things for us to say. The Holy Spirit has inspired him to say very specific things to Christians, to believers. Well, in an overarching way, Simon Peter addresses in the two letters that bear his name what Christians should believe and how they should behave. Because you see, belief and behavior, as we have talked about a lot, should go hand in hand. What we believe should affect how we behave. And how we behave is a direct reflection of what we believe. Now, I want to suggest to you is that when we believe and how we behave as Christians gets out of sync, when we say one thing and do another, when that gets out of sync, it not only negatively affects us, but actually it affects our movement. It affects the Christian world. Well, let me say that another way. When we say one thing and act in a conflicting way, it turns people off towards us and towards God. So we've got to work hard as followers of Jesus to make sure what we say matches up with what we're doing. What we say we believe matches up with how we're behaving. So our job, you might say, as Christians, is to make sure our profession, what we say, is matched by our expression, by what we do. Well, so far in this series, we have looked at what Simon Peter has to say about being holy, right? How to be set apart, how to be different than the world around us. And we've looked at what he says about being ready to share our faith That we should be living our faith in this contagious, outrageous sort of way so that people look at us and say, there's something about you that's different. And when they want to know why, we're able to tell them. Why is it that we believe what we believe? Well, today we're going to look at what Simon has to say about using our gifts well. About using our gifts well. So we find these words in 1 Peter 4, verses 10 and 11. God has given each of you a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts. Use them well to serve one another. Again, this is written to Christians, right? He's saying, God has given each of you a spiritual gift. Use them well to serve one another. And then he goes on to mention a couple. Do you have the gift of speaking? Then speak as though God himself were speaking through you. Do you have the gift of helping others? Do it with all the strength and energy that God supplies. Then everything you do will bring glory to God through Jesus Christ. All glory and power to him forever and ever. Now that's from the New Living Translation. Now the New Revised Standard Version kind of changes it up a little bit. And I like the words that our translator uses here. They write this way. Like good stewards of the manifold grace of God. That like sounds really pretty, doesn't it? Like good stewards of the manifold grace of God. In other words, as a steward, we are a caretaker, right? We are a manager of something that's put into our care temporarily that we are entrusted to. And so this thing that has been put into us, entrusted to us, we're to serve one another with whatever gift each of you has received. Again, then it's similar to the last one. Whoever speaks must do so as one speaking the very words of God. Whoever serves must do so with the strength that God supplies, so that God may be glorified in all things through Jesus Christ. To him belong all glory and power forever and ever. Amen. Now, both of these translations, both of these refer to gifts, spiritual gifts, that every single Christian has been given by the Holy Spirit when they come to faith in Christ. And that's what we're going to spend time on this morning. Now, throughout his writings, Simon Peter's big idea is this. Virtually everything that he addresses is in some way connected to this. That as followers of Jesus, we are all invited to join in the mission of Jesus. So when he writes to us, it's as if he's saying, okay, now all of you are invited to join in the mission of Jesus. Now, this mission, if you have a red letter Bible, which means that the words of Jesus are in red, it's in red. And his mission is this, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save those who are lost. So the overarching mission of Jesus that we are invited as followers of Jesus to participate in is to seek and to save the lost. Now, the lost are quite literally anybody and everybody who doesn't know Jesus. If you know Jesus, you're found. If you don't know Jesus, you're lost. And so we are invited. This is amazing good news that we are invited to do that. Now, there's some really good news here. In 1 Peter 3, 9 and verse 15, it says that God is being patient for your sake. He does not want anyone to be destroyed, but wants everyone to repent. Our Lord's patience gives people time to be saved. So this mission of Jesus to seek and to save the lost is something we are invited to do as well. But God is so patient because he doesn't want anybody to be lost or to be destroyed. Now, I've often heard people say things like, well, if your God is so loving and so caring and so powerful, then why doesn't he come back right now today and just fix everything? Do you know there's actually a really simple answer to that? To which I would simply say in the loving way possible, something like this. Oh, he is coming back. There is no doubt about that. The Bible is really clear, but it doesn't say when. And that's really good news. But when he does, it says he doesn't want anybody to be destroyed. He wants everyone to repent. So maybe it appears as though he's being slow in coming, but there's a reason. He wants everyone to come to faith in him including you. And you don't know him yet. And if he would come today, the eternal trajectory of your soul is not good. So God is patient. And maybe, as a matter of fact, he's inviting me to share this with you. So God has this amazing mission. This mission to seek and to save the lost that we are invited to. The mission of Jesus' disciples both then and today remains the same. In John 20, verse 21, it says, Jesus says, as the Father has sent me, so I'm sending you. You see, it's our mission too. As Christians, our mission, our job one. You've heard the expression, like, you got one job, right? Like one thing that you're really supposed to do well is to seek and to save the lost. So what we see throughout Scripture, what we see through Jesus' words, what we see through Peter reminding us of these, is he says, hey, hey, Debbie, I'm sending you. Hey, Paul, I'm sending you. Hey, Jill, I'm sending you. Hey, everybody here. He's sending us. He's sending us into the world to reach people for Christ. So that as we're going in the world, we're fulfilling the Great Commission of telling others the good news about Jesus, because that's our job. That's our one big job that we all share in common. And the beautiful thing is God gives us a wide variety of ways, gifts, to do that, that we get to share Christ in so many different ways. To help us do that, Peter affirms what the Apostle Paul has already talked about in places like Romans and 1 Corinthians and Ephesians, that when we come to faith in Jesus, every believer is given at least one gift to be used by God to build the body of Christ, the church, and contribute to the mission of Jesus. Every single one of us. The moment we say yes to Jesus, the Holy Spirit goes, gift, gift, gift. And he decides, we don't get to pick them. He decides what we get. And there's all kinds. There's been all kinds of spiritual gifts inventories, because we see them in Scripture, different kinds of lists of different gifts. But really, a gift is something that helps us to share the gospel in any way. So there's all kinds of gifts. So as followers of Jesus, Simon says, we all have gifts. If you look in the mirror, I don't think I have one. You have one. We all have one. Verse 10 tells us that. All of us. And in the verses we read just a few moments ago, he mentions just two. And clearly, this list is not exhaustive. Again, look what Simon says. God has given each of you a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts. Or as the New Revised Standard Version says, like good stewards of the manifold grace of God, serve one another with whatever gift you have received. Notice, for those of you who pay close attention to the structure of the sentences, it says given or has received. Notice the past tense. 1 Corinthians 12:7, Paul says, a spiritual gift is given to each of us so that we can help each other. That believers in Christ are gifted, and by the Holy Spirit, we don't get to pick our gifts or talents, but we're given them nonetheless to be used. The point is, as followers of Jesus, we each have a Holy Spirit given specific gift or gifts to be employed and deployed for the common good of God's people. Now, people who study this kind of stuff say that somewhere around 30% of the people in any given church are actually using their gifts. 30%. Sometimes people say, I need a break. I've been serving for a long time and I need a break. Like, there's actually no break in Scripture, because the task is too big. Like, we're to tell others about Jesus and use our gifts to do that. And Paul says, if we don't tell them, who will? So we don't really get to take, I get it, because we all get tired, but sometimes people have taken a short break into a really long sabbatical and haven't really found that place to really serve yet. Sometimes people don't know what their gift is, and we're not going to spend any time talking about that today, but they don't even know what their gift is, so they don't do anything. Now, I have a very simple solution for that, like jump in, try something. We're going to have a list of places that you can volunteer, that you can serve at the end of our worship time. We need people to be greeters now. We're going to start that back up again. Super excited about that. We need people to serve in Kids Point. We need people to clean the church. We need, like, those are all us using our gifts for the common good so that we as a church can reach people for Christ. Now, there are people who legitimately, they can't make it. Illness, something else, that there are some very legitimate reasons why there are some people who can't make it. But do you know how big that number is? It's really little. It's really little. But, you know, I wonder what would happen if we would move that number from 30% to 40% to 60% to 80%. What if 100% of the people in our churches today, including ours, were serving and using their gifts for the common good to build the kingdom of God? Can you imagine what our world would look like? Now, some people say things like, well, you know, I need to let somebody else do it. Or they complain because they're like, nobody else seems to step up. I have a great word for you as well. Invite somebody to do it with you. So as followers of Jesus, we all have gifts, every single one of us. Number two, that God intends us all to use. Again, the key word, of course, is, say it with me, all. If you're a believer in Christ, you're not exempt. We used to have a lady who was homebound in our church. And, you know, she used to just send cards to people because she couldn't really get out very often. That was her gift. She would just send cards to people. So, again, we are, as the New Revised Standard Version says, we are stewards of the manifold grace of God. As good managers, Simon says, as a local expression of the body of Christ, the church, 1 Corinthians 12:18 says, our bodies have many parts, but God has put each part just where he wants it. Get that. Like, this is huge. Like, I think you're here today because God says, I'm putting you where I want you. Now, we've got some visitors, and that's great. We're super excited to have you. But for the majority of us that are here, like if you're sitting here and you've been sitting here for a while, like you're here because God has like drawn you here. And so you have a part to play in this bigger story. And I'll say what I said earlier. If you're a Christian and if you're not consistently, actively engaged in a local church using your gifts, something of God's is missing. So, like, if you haven't found your place to serve, and again, we got all kinds of places, and if we don't have yours, like, we'll invent it. Like, really, we will find a place for you to serve. But if you're not serving, then something's missing. We're not as strong as we can be. We've heard this slogan over and over again that has been kind of used ad nauseum, but it's really true. We're better together. Like, we really can do amazing things together when we're all contributing. Now, again, I recognize that there's some people who can't do it, so I'm not really talking to those people. I'm talking to the majority of us. Because you see, as followers of Jesus, I read this week and it was so powerful. We are called to be co-laborers, not consumers. We're called to be co-laborers. We're not called to be consumers. That means we're called to serve inside the church. Means we're called to serve outside the church. Means that we're called to serve through the church. That we are co-laborers into this mission of Jesus to seek and to save the lost, which is our mission as well, because Jesus said, as the Father has sent me, I'm sending you, and he gives us a gift to be able to do that, whatever that might be. And so number one, we all have gifts. Number two, God intends for us to use. Number three, for which he empowers us to use. He empowers us to use. The clear indication from verse 11 is that we're to use whatever gift God has given us, and he actually empowers us to do that. Now, as I shared last week, 2 Peter 1:3 says, by his divine power, God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. Ephesians 3:20 puts it this way. Now, all glory to God, who is able through his mighty power at work within us to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. Isn't this incredible? Like, God not only gifts us, he empowers us to do that. I can't tell you how many people over the course of my ministry who have said things, I don't think I could do that. Or I don't think I could teach. I don't think I could lead. I'm like, give it a shot. See what happens. Or I don't think I have time. You know, there's this weird mathematical equation that happens in the kingdom of God. As we make more time for God, we make more time. And so a part of it is just we got to step into that. We got to step into it and to be in ministry. I heard something lately that's caused me to think differently and offer an alternative again to that same people doing the same thing all the time. And again, I just think it bears worth repeating again. I know we all get tired, but what would happen if together we'd bring other people in? If God empowers us to do this, if we're given gifts and he wants us to use it, what would happen if we'd start pulling people in and say, hey, sign up with me, or hey, do this with me. Let's do this together. It'd be amazing what we could actually accomplish. So we all have gifts that God intends us all to use, for which he empowers us to do it. And here's the beautiful thing. And we do this because it brings God glory. It really brings God glory. When he looks at us and sees us serving and using what he has gifted us to use and empowers us to do, it brings God glory. It brings him honor. Author and pastor Paul Tripp puts it this way. The doctrine of God's glory encompasses greatness, beauty, and perfection. Now think about that. When we're given gifts and we're using them and he's empowered us to use them and it brings joy, it means that we make our God great. We make him beautiful. We make him perfect. Or another puts it this way of understanding God's glory is glory refers to God's greatness, his honor, his beauty, his power, and his light. In every case, the glory of God acknowledges the Lord's supreme strength and our need to both acknowledge and serve him. Think about it. Our serving literally brings glory to God. When you're mowing the grass out here, that brings glory to God. When you're cleaning our facility, that brings glory to God. When you're teaching our little ones in Kids Point, that brings glory to God. When you're welcoming people who walk in the door, that brings glory to God. When you're singing or playing an instrument, that brings glory to God. Whatever your gift is, when you've found your gift and you're living in and using your gift, that brings glory to God. In other words, we're the light of the world. Like, when we serve, we shine light on our God. When we do things joyfully and because God has empowered us to do that, we make God look good. You know, there's a lot of people out there today that are trying to make God look bad. But we as followers of Jesus get to make God look good by serving him, by doing what he has gifted us to do. Again, we all have gifts, Simon says. We all have gifts that God intends for us to use, for which he empowers us all to use to bring glory to God. And again, if you're not consistently, actively engaged and using your gift, if you're not using your gift, something of God's is missing. There's a song that I used to sing as a kid. I remember this song. For those of you who grew up in the church, I'm going to get a song into your head today, and you're not going to be able to get it out of your head. And they'll know we are Christians by our love. Everybody got it? And they'll know we are Christians by our love. Yes, they'll know we are Christians by our love. Get it in your head. It'll be good. It'll be a good song all day long. But there's a verse in there that says this, the third verse. And it says, We will work with each other. We will work side by side. We will work with each other. Sing it with me. We will work side by side, and we'll guard each man's dignity and save each man's pride. Sing it with me. And they'll know we are Christians by our love, by our love. Yes, they'll know we are Christians by our love. They'll know we're Christians by our love. They'll know we are Christians by how we serve. How we serve God and how we serve one another. When we put to use the gifts that God has given us. He's given us all gifts. As followers of Jesus, he's given us all gifts that he expects us all to use, that he empowers us to use, and it gives God glory. If you're a follower of Jesus and you're not actively engaged in using your gifts, whatever they might be, for the glory of God, then something of God's is missing. They'll know we are Christians by our love, how we work side by side. Let's pray. God, you have called us through your word to serve others, to serve you. And in fact, you have given us gifts, talents, and abilities to actually do that. And so, God, I pray that our response today would just be, here I am, Lord, send me. So that might be the prayer of so many of us this morning, whether we are here in person or watching online or watching at some other time. Lord, our prayer would be, here I am, Lord, send me. We know that these are words echoed through the pages of your word, where you call your people to use the gifts that you have given them, that you have empowered them to use, to make a difference in our world. So God, whether it's inside the church, outside the church, through the church, however that's working, God, would you just like make something just like well up inside of us that we might be able to look and say, wow, well, like, what is it that I can do? And we begin praying and just say, God, so the first thing is I'm willing. I want to be used by you. So God, whatever it is, wherever you want me to go, whatever you want me to say, however you want me to, like, I'll do it, God. Would you just show me what that is? Here's the good news. God is faithful. He will show you. He will tell you. He just might be waiting for you to ask, because he's given us all gifts that he wants us all to use, that he has empowered us to use, that will bring him glory. And so may we be a people who just do it. That we just do it to the glory of God. In Jesus' name we pray.